Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi-yo. Welcome to Kids Birth Tales. My brother's name is Ollie and I'm Die Boy. Thank you for listening from Mommy's Bobcast. See you later.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Bloom Birth Pools. They are new to the New Zealand market and the pool is designed in New Zealand. It features thick but soft non-toxic materials and a gentle white colour ready to make any birthing space so beautiful. A bespoke design with each feature thoughtfully included to elevate the beautiful experience that birth can be. Tegan is the mum on this episode and she has her own water birth at home, so she has experienced exactly that and has designed the birth pool as a result. It's got some really incredible features. It's thick and durable, sweet but subtle affirmation printed on the side. It's fast inflation and deflation. It's got a little seat for extra comfort. It has four handles, two on the inside, two on the outside. It drains from the bottom. It's the perfect size for movement and it's not too big. So Tegan has literally thought of it all. Make sure you go and check out Bloom Birth Pools. I'll tag them in the show notes and on socials. Thank you for sponsoring this week's episode, Tegan, at Bloom Birth Pools. You are a superstar. Kia ora and welcome back to Kiwi Birth Tales. I am your host, Jordan. I'm a mum of two. I've got Jai, who is four, and Ali, who is two. I also have a business baby, which is your birth project. Your birth project is the online hypnobirthing course you need to create your best birth. Don't let the word hypnobirthing put you off. It is not some like hippy dippy, you're going to be hypnotized and then wake up and your baby's here, although wouldn't that be amazing? It is very much an inclusive birth course. It includes you, it includes your birth partner, and it includes all types of birth. It is going to give you the education that you need to have your very best birth, make informed choices throughout the process, and just have the education. Like, knowledge is power in birth. So go and check out your birth project to create your best birth. Today I'm speaking with Tegan. You've already heard a little bit about Bloom Birth Pools, but you will hear more about it in this episode because she is the owner. She also gives birth at home in a pool, which is a coincidence. And she has such a lovely story. She goes from wanting a hospital birth and not being keen at all, or even thinking about home birth, thinking that people who had home births are just like a little bit loopy, to then actually having her own home birth and totally changing her mindset around birth. So I think you're going to love this episode. I really enjoyed recording it. I will let you jump into it with Tegan and I'd love to hear from you.
Hey Tegan, thanks so much for joining me on the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast today.
Thanks for having me, Jordan. I'm honoured to be on the podcast.
No problem. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about you and who is in your family?
Yeah, so I'm Tegan Mitai. I've got my husband Dylan and we've got baby Osi, who's no longer a baby. She's just about to turn two. I have a few hats. So I'm trained as a lawyer, currently working in compliance. And my husband and I own a CrossFit gym and we're just about to launch a new business, which is Birth Pools. It's called Bloom Birth Pools.
Yeah, so cool. And I can't wait to hear more about that. And I'll definitely share on my Instagram because I know there'll be lots of people who listen to this podcast in New Zealand that are in the market for birth pools. So very cool. Very cool. Awesome. And why don't you take us through what the journey to pregnancy was like for you and Dylan?
Yeah, sure. So we got married in April 21. Yeah, 21. And pretty much post-wedding, we were like, you know, that was kind of, we're like, yeah, we're ready to have a child. So ain't nothing like a honeymoon to get started. We didn't know what it was going to look like, how long it would take. We've both competed at high level sport, although I never had any symptoms of like energy deficiency or anything. You just never really know, right? So we decided to get straight into it. And much to our surprise, that was it. Pregnant on the first go.
Oh wow, amazing. And how were you feeling when you found out?
The only symptom that I really had, so I was working from home at the time, and at like 2 p.m. for some consecutive days, I was literally falling asleep at my desk.
Mm.
No reason, like nothing had changed. And I'm not usually like a day napper, so I was like, oh, that's weird. Didn't really think anything of it, and then period was 1 day late, and then it was 2 days late, and then I didn't want to take a pregnancy test because I didn't want to get my hopes up, and I didn't want to get too excited too early, but we were going to a concert on that Friday, so I said to Dylan, if my period hasn't come, I'll take a test, basically to find out whether I can drink or not. And so that's what happened. He went to work early that morning, and I got up and took a test, and lo and behold, there was 2 lines on that test.
Amazing. And did you know like what to do from there? Did you like want a midwife for your care? Did you even know where to start? Like, talk us through what happened next.
I laugh because I honestly had no idea, and it hadn't even crossed my mind what you do when you figure out you're pregnant. So I kind of thought you went to your doctor, which I guess is not the wrong thing to do. So I made an appointment with my doctor, and she just basically sent me off for a blood test just to confirm. And yeah, that came through as yes, definitely pregnant. So I think she gave me some ferritin at that point and kind of sent me on my way and said, go find a midwife, which I don't know why, but I sat on for a couple of weeks. And by the time I was about 8 weeks, I couldn't find a midwife because I was going to be, OC's due date was 20th of Jan. So it was definitely in that kind of Christmas New Year's period, which just makes it more difficult. And the fact that midwives are kind of hard to come by these days anyway. So I ended up calling my midwife friend and saying, hey, can you help me? She had moved out of the area. So she kind of did some calling around, and she reckoned she called 10 midwives before one said yes. I live on the North Shore in Beach Haven, and my midwife ended up being in Titirangi. So it was a bit of a, it was about a 40 minute drive away. So not the closest midwife I could have got, but she was amazing. So definitely all worked out in the end.
Yeah, cool. Nice. And what about the rest of your first trimester? So you turned into a day napper at the start. Did that last? And did you get any other pregnancy symptoms in the first trimester?
Yeah, that actually went away pretty quickly. Trimester one was really smooth for me. I didn't have any real symptoms. I had a tiny bit of nausea around food, but there was no vomiting or anything. I felt pretty lucky. So I really couldn't even tell I was pregnant in trimester one.
Yeah, amazing. Awesome. And what about like all the testing and stuff that's offered to you in New Zealand in your pregnancy? Did you decide to do all of that?
Yeah, we did. We did. Like I said, I didn't really, honestly, I hadn't even considered what really happens in pregnancy. So, I had a midwife and basically said yes to all the standard testing that was offered. When I think I was about 16 weeks, we went into lockdown. So that didn't really change too much, but it meant I did go to my scans by myself. I had the standard blood work done, glucose test, and ended up going to the anatomy scan which is a little bit sad, but I mean, that's just what happened at the times, and I'm sure there was people that went through worse things by themselves. So
cool, awesome. And what about the sex of your baby? Did you want to know that, and did you end up finding out?
Yeah, I'm definitely someone that wants to find out. So we went to the 12-week scan together, and at that point, and we were caught off guard a little bit, but the sonographer was like, are you guys finding out what your baby is? And we both said, yeah. And she's like, do you want to know right now? And we're both like, yeah. And so then she told us it was a girl. She said, I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty confident. And she was right.
Awesome. Very cool. And talk us through your pregnancy journey in terms of birth education. Did you do antenatal classes? How did you go about finding out more about birth?
Yeah, we did. We decided to do antenatal classes, and we did it slightly early, I think, because it was around that Christmas time. And so we did it. We were basically the youngest, or had the earliest baby in our group, which was quite nice in the end because everyone else went before us. We did Nest antenatal, and it was all online because we were in lockdown, which was, to be honest, I didn't mind at all. We're quite busy people, so it was quite nice to just do it from the comfort of our own home. I was so green in terms of anything labor and pregnancy related. I didn't know anything. I remember being super shocked to learn that there were even stages of labor. So it was definitely like a good thing that we did antenatal. I mean, you don't know what you don't know, right? We did that, and then we hadn't planned to do anything else, but up until about 34 weeks, I was like, yep, I'm having a hospital birth. It wasn't really a decision for me. It was always what I was going to do. And then I went to a midwife appointment, and she said she was now offering home births, which was a change because she didn't originally, which didn't bother me at all because I wasn't really interested. But because of the COVID situation and what that was presenting, like there was restrictions on who could go to the hospital, and it made me a little bit nervous. So I did start considering that home birth option, which is what led me to doing your birth project. I was like, man, I probably need to upskill myself a little bit here, figure out a bit more about what's going on. We started that around, honestly, it might have even been 36 weeks, and I know we didn't get to the very end, but we did a large chunk of it, and I vividly remember some parts of it that definitely, like, that was when the penny dropped for me about birth environment. And you made this analogy, I think it was with a cat, and like they go to a cool, dark place to give birth. Yeah. And that was the moment the penny dropped for me, and I was like, hospital birth is not for me. Like relatively private person, and I knew I'd just go with whatever the care providers were telling me, even if I didn't agree, if I was uncertain. So I knew I needed to be in my home, and or I could control who was there and the familiarity, and that would allow me to relax. So that kind of helped me do a bit of a 360 and decided I was having a home birth. Obviously, I was pretty open to whatever happened, and I'd be okay with going to the hospital. But in saying that, I don't think I even packed a hospital bag. So, And then I also read the An Amaze Guide to Childbirth. That was
cool.
The other thing that I read.
Yeah. Awesome. I love that cat analogy. I think it's like just such a good way of thinking about like the ideal birth environment.
Honestly, so, it was so good. I was just like, that makes so much sense to me.
Awesome. Very cool. And so how did you go? So I think you said you were about 36 weeks when you started your birth project. So how did you go about preparing for a home birth once you decided that that was what you wanted to do?
Immediately we got onto the like getting a birth pool, because that's what that's the tool that I thought that I would use. So we just ordered that, and then we kind of just like made our way through the course, and we kind of did a video a night or a couple a night and just like chatted about it as we went. This is Dylan and I, in case that wasn't obvious. And just to make sure that we're on the same page, I think we thought that was probably the most important thing. We had just moved house, so we were in a new house, and the house had no blinds, so that was going to create a bit of a interesting I don't know, depending whether it was day or night, we weren't quite sure, but we had came up with a couple of plans depending on what happened, and had some makeshift blinds, etc., to get us through. So that was pretty much, apart from that and a whole bunch of towels, that's the only real prep that we did for having OC at home.
Awesome. And had you picked her name in your pregnancy, or did you wait till she was born? Like, how did you go with picking her name?
We had a couple of names lined up, and OC wasn't actually on that list, but she was born, and then we decided that none of those names were the ones we wanted to use. And then we were just so like obsessed with her and what was going on, and like trying to figure out how to be parents, that for a couple of weeks she actually had no name. She was just called baby. So one day we were like, okay, we got to do this like intentionally today, otherwise I don't know how long she's not going to have a name for. So we started coming up with this big bank and like searched everywhere we could find, and among that we found OC, and then we knew that that was what we wanted to call it.
Beautiful. Very cool. Okay, and talk us through the end of your pregnancy. How were you feeling? What were you doing in preparation for birth? Were you doing antenatal expressing or anything, trying to start your labor or prepare for that? Talk us through all that.
I think it was about 34 weeks that we came out of lockdown, so I hadn't really done any like shopping around or gotten the last little bits and bobs that I wanted to. So we had a bit of lost time to make up for. So that kept me super preoccupied, I guess you could say. So I wasn't rushing around, but I was definitely like had some jobs that I wanted to do. I did do some antenatal expressing, and that was probably the extent of my prep for birth or trying to bring on labor. I tried perineal massage once and decided that that was too much admin and uncomfortable for me, and so I never did it again. And then, yeah, in stages of pregnancy, I mean, I was really lucky. I had such a, what I would say, easy pregnancy, no real symptoms. And saying that, like, I was in lockdown, so that slowed me right down. There wasn't much to do apart from walking, and I ended up having SPD and some pelvic joint pain, so I didn't even walk in the end. So yeah, I did some antenatal expressing, and apart from that, I was so preoccupied trying to get her stuff ready that I didn't really have time to think about anything else.
Okay, and take us through your labor and birth story. So did your labor start spontaneously? How far along were you, and what happened next? I'm excited to hear it.
My labour did start spontaneously. Dylan and I had chatted. I'd shown him some pictures of what I wanted my birth environment to look like, wherever we were going to be. So I kind of left that part with him. And we had a pool and a TENS machine, so I had options. OC was due on the 18th of Jan, and the night of the 19th, I was making like a little mobile for her room, and I started getting some light, I guess what I would call period cramps. That's the only explanation I had. I didn't want to get my hopes up. I was like, this could go on for weeks. Like, who knows what's happening here? So I kind of just went to bed. And then in the middle of the night, I went to the toilet and I discovered that I'd lost my mucus plug. So I definitely got a bit of adrenaline rush through me at that point. And again, I was like, go back to bed. Like, who knows what's going to happen? I did message my midwife in the morning because I was due for a growth scan that day, I think, and a catch up with her. So I said, can I just cancel both and just see what happens? I'm a little bit tired and just kind of want to chill. And she said, yeah, of course. And that she'd come and see me the next day at home, which was cool. So on the 20th, at about 6 a.m., I definitely started feeling some niggles, and I said to Dylan, I think you should probably stay home from work today, which he was more than happy to oblige. So he did stay home, and then it was definitely contractions. Like, they were very manageable to start with. From about 6 till 10 a.m.-ish, they were just a few minutes apart. And, yeah, I popped on my TENS machine pretty much straight away. And, yeah, was just breathing through them, and, we just kind of chilled at home. My mom ended up coming over about 9-ish, I think. I had planned for her to be there during the birth, so she came over just to help out with some stuff. And then around about 10:30, my midwife came around to check up on me, and she said, I think your contractions are more than a few minutes apart, honey. So she said, do you want me to stay or do you want me to go and I can come back? And I said, no, I'm happy for you to stay. And so she did, and we kind of just chilled in the morning. Dills went off to set up the pool, and because we didn't have any curtains or anything, we actually did it in the garage because we also didn't know how hot it was going to be because it was Jan. And it's a carpeted garage, so it's not like a dingy garage. It's quite nice. And it was also really, really close to the water, so that kind of all made sense. So yeah, we set it up in the garage. And then my midwife gave me a stretch and sweep. She asked me if I wanted to, and I said, yeah, why not? She said I was about 3 centimeters, but she could stretch me out to 5. So she said things were moving, but who knows where to from here. And I was all good with that. And then I think about midday, things started ramping up. She told me to go walk the stairs. We've got some stairs in our house to maybe see if that would move things along a little bit. And I ended up going up the stairs, and then contractions really started ramping up. So I basically stayed up there. I didn't even come back down. And in hindsight, I can see that I transitioned up there. So I had two massive spews, which I wasn't expecting and honestly wouldn't have even known about unless I'd listened to a bunch of your Kiwi birth tales, because there are definitely some ladies on there that have been through similar. So I was quite happy to, I guess, recognize what was going on there, because I think it would have caught me a bit off guard otherwise. I think it definitely caught my husband off guard. He was like, oh my God, is she okay? So, that happened up there. And then my midwife was like, okay, I'm just going to head off and make some calls. So she was calling around to see if she could find a second midwife, because it seemed pretty obvious that this baby was coming today. So, I breathed through a few.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
More contractions upstairs. My mom was with me, and then just all of a sudden I marched downstairs and I was like, I want to get in the pool. And so I stripped off and stood in the pool, and it was still so hot, because everyone had always said to us, like, it's so hard to keep the pool hot, make sure that you keep it hot until she's ready to get in. So I think it was like 40 degrees and we needed to bring it down to 37. So I was like standing in it without being able to like fully submerge, and my midwife was trying to distract me and get me to read my information cards. And I just remember being like, what the hell? Now it's really not the time. And afterwards when we chatted, she was like, oh man, I was trying to distract you because I didn't want you to get in the water yet. So Dylan had the hose in the pool trying to fill it with cold water and bring the temp down. And then as soon as it was all good, like I just fully immersed and was immediately struck with involuntary pushing, which, again, I would not have known what that was had I not listened to, many of the other mums' birth stories. So, again, I was like, thank God I did some prep work for this. And I remember that being like an out-of-body experience. I honestly couldn't believe the noise that came out of my mouth. I was like, wow. So that was... then I knew, like, oh, shit, it's happening. And my midwife at the time was still in the kitchen, which is, like, just down the hall slightly. And my mum was like, I think this baby's coming. You might want to come out here. And she was, like, trying to get a second midwife here. And I think she had someone on her way, but they didn't know if she'd make it in time. So they ended up calling an ambulance just to be on standby, who kind of just stayed outside. They didn't come in at all. But that was... yeah, that was all good. And I do remember looking to the side and I saw these almighty scissors and I went, holy shit, is that what she's going to cut me with? Thinking like I was going to need an episiotomy. But in hindsight or afterwards, I realized it was for cutting that umbilical cord. But it definitely the willies up me at the time. I was like, oh my God. So I think I got in the pool like 1:15-ish and... yeah, pretty much like the pushing started straight away. And at 2:01, she was born. So her head came out first and then she just stayed there for a little bit whilst we waited for the next big contraction. And then she was, out in a couple of pushes with her hand up by her face. So I did get a little tear, but honestly, I didn't even feel it because straight away I was just hit with the biggest high.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. It sounds like the most incredible, incredible birth experience. And it's like amazing that only a few weeks before that you were like set on a hospital birth and then that's how it all worked out. It's very cool.
Yeah, I definitely am super happy that I chose the home birth option. And I did have a friend that had a home birth about a year earlier. And honestly, I was that friend that you didn't tell you were having a home birth because, not because I was like, I wouldn't try and change anything or say anything, but they just knew that I was like, I was a hospital kind of person. It was really lovely.
Yeah, amazing. And so when she was born, did like you bring her straight up to your chest and did you stay in the water? Talk us through like the next half an hour or so after birth.
Yeah, so I was leaning over the pool, and then so she was kind of coming up backwards, facing up to the sky, but my midwife kind of passed her back through my leg under the water and then put her straight on my chest. And I just remember that feeling of holding them for the first time. Like, I'll never forget how warm and squishy she was. And I just could not believe that she was in my arms.
Mm-hmm.
I was so happy, and I was happy that she was here and relieved that the birth was over. Man, I do remember in that first 5 minutes she came out thinking to myself, do not ever forget how painful that was.
Yeah.
But I was definitely overtaken by just, yeah, how amazed I was that she was here and that, yeah, that we finally had a daughter. So, yeah, they put her on my chest, or my midwife put her on my chest, and then I fed her in the pool to try and also help get my placenta out. But they were like, next time you have a contraction, you know, push. But I honestly felt like my contractions had stopped. I don't know if I was just on such a high that I couldn't feel anything anymore. But, my midwife and the second midwife was telling me to push when I felt another contraction, but I really couldn't feel anything. So I ended up giving OC to Dylan, and he had some skin-to-skin just on the stairs beside us, which was really nice as well. And then she just said, maybe just try and stand up. And I stood up and my placenta literally just slipped out. So
yeah,
that was also, I know that that can sometimes not be as easy of a part. So that was nice to kind of have that done as well. And then they just dried me off and took me to the spare room because I did need a couple of stitches. And my midwife in the second stitched me up and administered some medication via my rectum, which took me by surprise at the time. I couldn't quite believe it, but I actually didn't care because I have my baby and the oxytocin was definitely flowing thick, so I was super happy.
Yeah, amazing. Cool. And what sort of happened from there? Like, did your midwives hang around for a bit, or talk us through like that first day at home with your baby?
Yeah, the second midwife took off pretty quick, so that was fine because I didn't really know her and there was no complications, so that was all good. But afterwards, I went up to have a shower. My mum took me to have a shower upstairs, and my midwife came too because she was a little bit concerned about the bleeding, and she was asking me to like try and pee in the shower, but I couldn't. So she ended up giving me some kind of injection in my leg. I honestly don't know what it was, but
yeah,
I think it was to help my uterus contract and then to let my bladder kind of do its thing. So I had a shower upstairs, got changed and got all fresh, and then went downstairs and we all just kind of chilled in the lounge. My dad and sisters came over, we chilled in the lounge and FaceTimed Dylan's family because they live down in Huntley. And just, hung out for a few hours and had pizza, and I just wanted orange juice and cookies, so that's what I had. And we just kind of talked about it, and it was, super lovely. I think that was part of the highlight for me, is that, I had whoever I wanted there. It was my house. I was super comfy. And there was just none of that external noise that I guess maybe I wouldn't have wanted if I went into hospital.
Amazing. Yeah, cool. And how did you go with like latching her on and with feeding initially in those first few days? How did you find the next couple of days adjusting to everything being a new mom?
I laugh because I don't think I thought about feeding her for like the first couple of hours. I didn't even consider that she had also been through birth and like might be really hungry. So my midwife kindly suggested that maybe I like to try feed her. And I did. And I definitely really struggled with one side. And she said, like, do you want to go to birth care? And I said I did. I thought that I might like to go. So she checked up in Warkworth, but they were actually completely full, so they couldn't take us. And then we ended up deciding to go to Waitakere for a night, which sounds really weird considering we wanted to have a home birth, but we went to Waitakere for the night just to, I don't know, see how it went overnight and have people on call if we needed them. We actually made a lot of use of the lactation consultant that was there, so she really helped me with that initial feeding. She gave me a shield because I was struggling to latch OC on. And yeah. I think that made a huge difference. I think we would have had a very different feeding journey had we not gone there. So it was still a little bit of a struggle to begin with, which I know that is for a lot of people. But yeah, I was grateful to have had someone look over that from day dot. We left pretty early the next morning, but and then feeding was relatively straightforward. I mean, she definitely chewed up my nipples a bit and there was some pain and wincing, but we persevered and I did end up breastfeeding her for almost the first year. So
amazing. And did you keep the shield for that time, or was it only initially that you used it?
I did use it for about 3 months, I think. And then I just, started kind of as my nipples healed and I felt more confident, like I just started trying without it. And we ended up being fine. So that was good. She also took a bottle from about 2 weeks because of COVID. We own a CrossFit gym and we weren't quite sure what was going to happen, like if we'd both need to be at the gym or I don't know. So we decided that we'd try on a bottle early just so we had options. And she took to that well. So yeah, we were quite lucky that we did have options, I guess.
Awesome. Cool. And talk us through like what happens from there. So how did you go with your physical recovery from birth, and did you notice like a drop in hormones or any of the baby blues? How are you feeling mentally in those first few weeks and months adjusting to life as a mum?
Yeah, I didn't notice considerably any drops. I didn't have the baby blues, so I was very aware and kind of looking out for it. But I didn't have that. I honestly had more of a post-wedding blues. I was like, and I knew what that felt like. I was like, the few days after the wedding, I was like, I am so sad. Like, I don't know what. Not even just sad that it was over. I was just like, I am sad. So I was kind of like prepared for the baby blues, I guess, but they didn't come. And then I think also like Dils and I are really close with our families, so we had so much support and we were so lucky for that. His family would often come up and, you know, that was so helpful. And my mum would come round at about 3 o'clock every day, which was such a nice like mental relief, I guess, because there was definitely some anxious times. I think just not knowing what you were doing and, you know, all those things that come with navigating a new journey. My mum would pop around every afternoon, so I was very grateful for that, which I think stopped any kind of major spiraling. Not that I thought that was coming, but, you know, it just helped keep me sane, basically. And I didn't notice any major hormone shifts. I did return to exercise around 3 to 4 months. So that was nice. And that was, I wouldn't say it was a straight journey, but I managed to continue exercising after that, which again made me feel good. I think I felt like I returned to my me or my the body that I knew in good time.
Awesome. And what about you and Dylan? Like, how did you go with sharing the load of parenting? And like, it's just such a huge change in your relationship. So how have you found that?
Yeah, initially I think we were very conscious of it. And so we worked super hard on it. And we obviously like, there were so many times he's like, I don't know what I can do. Like, I want to help you more, but you feed her and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I was just grateful for even the thought. And the amount of times that I sat down to breastfeed and I was like, oh, can you get my bottle? I was like, surely Sudi's going to be like, can you get your bottle? But he was so good, so patient. And we were really lucky. She was such a good sleeper for the first 6 months. Like, she was sleeping through the night from about 3 weeks. And trust me, that didn't last. But for 3 weeks to 6 months, like, I think that period is such a huge adjustment, and to have her sleeping, which meant we slept, was a game changer. And, you know, it didn't impact us hugely. Whereas once we found our feet, she kind of did the whole five times a night waking up thing, which by then we had adjusted and found our new life. Yeah. So we were kind of more ready to deal with that part of it. We Yeah, it was relatively smooth for us to start with. I think as she got older and busier, that's when we struggled a little bit more. But again, like, we just reminded ourselves all the time, like, everything's just a phase, and it did. Everything passed with time. And then comes the next part of the journey.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. And I know, so you sort of said that you, like, got back into exercise and started feeling, you know, like, good. Started feeling good and like you yourself again. So how did you go from a work perspective? So what did that look like running your own business? And you've obviously got the CrossFit gym, and then were you still a lawyer at the time as well? What did it look like returning to work for you?
Yeah, I did take the first year off. So I took the first year off the legal job, which was nice. The gym still... we still ran the gym. So within, I don't know, I think 4 weeks, or I went back to coaching, which was nice because it was like an hour out for me as well. So yeah, that part of it was actually fine. If I didn't want to go back and coach, I didn't have to. So I did.
Yeah.
I made a decision that I wanted to. And I just kept running the admin from home, which I would just do in her sleep time or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of home time to begin with. So that part was actually fine. And we're used to being relatively busy, so it was kind of fine just to continue like that. Not having my other job was enough of a relief for me, to feel like I was just kind of pottering along at my own pace. And then at 1 year, I went back to work 3.5 days a week. So, but at the same time, OC went into daycare, so that was kind of a smooth transition as well. And yeah, all kind of just evolved what seemed like naturally as she kind of progressed, we did too.
Amazing. Awesome. And you've obviously, like, you're about to launch Bloom Birth Pools, so talk us through that journey. How did you decide that you wanted to start that, and what has the journey looked like to your upcoming launch?
It's taken a long time, partly because while I work, we have a gym, and also the birth of OC, but we're just about there. So I think it wasn't until after birth that I realized how important and how much the positive experience of birth actually meant to me, and that I was super grateful to have had Alicia, my midwife, plant the initial home birth seed, which was definitely the reason I ended up even considering that was an option in the first place. So I had this preconception, and I'm sure probably more people than just me feel like this, but I had a preconception that home birth was a bit of a risky option, and like, and I also thought that birthing in the water was yuck. Like, those were my two, those were my two things about birth. I was like, nope, not at home, and nope, not in the water.
I love it. I love where you've ended up to, you know, it's so great.
And then after doing your birth project, and honestly, I realized so much like the impact of your birth environment, which was not a consideration that I had beforehand, and how much that impacts your experience and your ability to control the controllables. It just made so much sense to me that birthing at home was what I wanted to do. During my pregnancy, I was following like every birth photographer I could possibly find, and seeing all these beautiful moments captured, which kind of afterwards, like, obviously they were still all through my feed, led to me exploring the idea of a prettier birth pool. Looking back at my photos, there's this big stark pool and like a huge plastic sheet. It was literally like a plastic sheet that went inside the pool and like hung all over the edges, underneath me, and it felt like a big piece of plastic as well. So the goal was to kind of bring the aesthetics of the pool to match the beauty of the moment that is birth, because it seemed like misaligned to me at the moment. So we thought about all the things that we did and didn't like about the pool that I had, and then designed this new product, which in a nutshell is basically a beautiful birth pool that goes with what could be a beautiful serene moment as well.
Yeah, amazing. And they are beautiful. That's the first thing I thought when I saw the pictures of them. They look so lovely.
Thank you.
Amazing. Awesome. And so when is launch?
They'll be here on the 9th of Feb. So I'm guessing it'll take me a few days to get them out of customs. I don't know, maybe even a week or so. But basically they'll be available mid-Feb. So yeah, we've got a website underway, so that'll be up and running soon, and you can just follow us along on Instagram to see what's happening, and there's a little link in there that basically to update you when they've arrived.
Yeah, good. Awesome. Amazing. Well, it has been so lovely to talk to you today, Tegan, and I love the journey from like how you initially thought about birth to where you've ended up, and that it's actually brought you into like the birth world and the birth space. It's
crazy to look back on. Like I can't tell you how much, like I always knew I was going to be a mum, and well, hoped I was going to be a mum. But yeah, how I thought I'd birth and where I've ended up is just, you couldn't be more polar opposite if you tried.
Yeah, amazing. Well, yeah, I'm just super grateful that you're willing to come on and share your story, and I'm really looking forward to the launch of Bloom Birth Pools. I'll make sure that I pop the link in the show notes and share it on Instagram as well, so everyone knows where to find you. But yeah, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your story with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jordan.
Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. I hope you have enjoyed it. I really loved speaking with Tegan and think her story is so lovely. If you want to check out Bloom Birth Pools, I've tagged it in the show notes and I'll make sure I tag it in the socials as well. Such a beautiful option if you're giving birth in New Zealand and you're planning on a home birth. And I just, I'm obsessed with how they've made the birth pools look. So make sure you go and check those out. I'll be back with another birth story episode for you next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.